connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.
And now, the fastest hour in paranormal talk radio. Welcome to the Mallard Report. The opinions expressed on the Mallard Report are those of the host and participants. They're not intended to, and do not necessarily reflect opinions of any simulcast radio networks or sponsors. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report. The paranormal talk radio show with Jim Mallard as your host. See what lies beneath any paranormal activity. Go inside a world that others don't want to see. It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report.
And now your host, Jim Mallard.
Welcome to the Mallard Report. Tonight's Mallard Report is brought to you by the Mallard Report. I'm still looking for a sponsor. The fastest hour in paranormal talk radio. Visit italkparanormal.com. Free podcasts, free streaming, and free weekly newsletters. I'm getting back to posting more in those. It probably won't be out in this newsletter coming up, but the next one, I promise it's going to get better. And all of that and more, visit italkparanormal.com. My guest tonight is... probably showing the fruit that I'll probably have to read at the end of the show. My guest tonight is the Reverend Sherry James. She has been on the show before. I know this is kind of scary. I looked it up because I knew you've been on before, but I didn't realize it had been that long since you've been on. Do you know how long it's been?
I don't know. Probably 8 months or something, maybe.
This is how time flies. This is how time flies. It was April 3rd, 2012. Over 1,000 days ago. I did the math on that, too, because I like that. Putting things in days.
You're obviously not as fond of me as I thought you were to wait that long.
Well, I'm just fond of everybody, though. That's the problem. I get so many people that are smart and great and want to come on. It's hard to keep people that you like coming back on, because you fill it with the people you like, you'll never get anybody new.
Well, the other thing is you're a good host and people enjoy coming on your show. So as opposed to having to struggle to get guests, we're just begging you, hey, pay attention to us. Remember us.
I did remember you, though. See, that's the thing. Even though we had to fight out a date, we got it. See, we did it. I told you I'd make it work once we got it.
What you asked me back in 3 or 4 months ago, are you going to be on here?
Yeah.
But your guests are really booked way out. So congratulations. You've come a long way in the last, I don't know, how long have we known each other now? 4 years, I guess?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah. It's kind of scary.
So, yeah, how long ago did you start this show?
May 31st, 2011. So it's coming up on 4 years.
That's a good run for a paranormal radio show. And especially to have some of the quality of the guests that you've had on.
Yeah, and they're only going to get better, which is kind of scary.
So tell me, Jim.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Future. How do you see the show evolving?
How do I see the show evolving? Well, it's interesting because we were just talking a little bit about this before we went on air about how people are going to be watching TV via their computers or more web-based stuff. So I hope I'm in on the ground floor and hoping working on developing the product to have something that competes not today but in the long term. When I first set out to do the show, somebody told me I should sit down and write out a list of things I wanted to accomplish and have a 5-year plan. Well, I've been on the air for 4 years, and I've accomplished everything I wanted to in that first 5 years, so I've recrafted the list. Of course, I've had to recraft it again since then, but it helps me keep track of where I want to be, and I'm happy to have to rewrite the list. So I'm still baffled that it was downloaded over 150,000 times in the last year, in 2014.
Right.
I don't understand. From way back when you probably started listening to the show, when I had 3 or 4 listeners, to having hundreds of people listen to it around the world each week, just kind of, I still don't get it, but I'm grateful for everybody that does listen to it. But because people say, you know, you've got a good show and it's a big show, and I'm like, it's still the same show I was doing back then. I don't quite get it, but I know I've got better at it, so.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. You've become even more polished. But you were even back then one of probably 2 or 3 top hosts within Paranormal Radio. And you've gotten better, and you also have a quality guest. And it's also fun to be on your show. It's easy to be on your show.
Yeah, and I like good guests, and I like having fun, because this genre can get kind of, I don't want to say serious or heavy, but there are some monotone people out there that can really drive you nuts.
What's the biggest thing that's changed about you since you've been hosting? We're just going to totally flip this around.
What's the biggest thing that's changed about me since? The attention to detail that I have to pay to get what I need done. Because when I first started the show for the first year, I mean, I did record the show via video, but I didn't even pay attention to putting an audio podcast together. And then I put them together, but they were sloppy and they weren't put together. I mean, the audio files, like the tags and stuff, weren't there. And as of late, even in December, I'm still learning about like search engine optimization so I can get more listeners because of just how I post the post. And so it's the attention to detail that has changed the most from. But that's all stuff that maybe the listener necessarily wouldn't even see. But so that's what's changed the most.
One of the people in the chat room, Wes, says he sometimes smiles in pictures now. That has changed.
I love Wes Forsythe, and if you haven't been over to iHuntGhosts.com, go over there, check out Wes's site. You can actually find my show there too, which is kind of strange, and. I hope Wes is doing well. I know he's had some personal issues with his father passing a couple weeks ago. So I hope tonight he gets a little crack and gets a little relief from all that stress and anxiety and all that grief too. So, but he's got some good people around him besides me. So that's all that matters.
It's always important to have friends and to have a support system when someone passes. And to hopefully have maybe a spiritual, I'm trying to bring this back into, maybe have a spiritual support system as well. And that is true whether you're dealing with the paranormal or whether you're dealing with your personal spirituality or your religious spirituality.
Yeah, it's true. You've got to have... As I say, you've got to have people around you who think the same as you, and then you've got to have people that don't think the same as you, so you can kind of bounce ideas off both parts and see what happens. Because you don't want everybody to always agree with you, because you'll never learn anything new. It's true in everything in life.
The other thing, though, that's challenging about that is that there are so many people that will make blanket statements that... one of the things that I've been encountering, especially on some of the websites and in some of the paranormal groups that I come across, is that people repeatedly make statements as if they're absolutely true based on something that they've either seen on a para-celebrity, para-reality television show, or that maybe even that they know and believe from their own faith belief system, or that they just heard this somewhere, and they put it out there on their post like, this is absolutism, and this is the way, of course, it's going to be, and everybody believes the same way, and it's not reality. And that's very challenging to come up against that and try to diplomatically say, you know, there's broader perspectives than that out there.
Oh, yeah. That has gotten me in trouble with a lot of people on Facebook. Thanks for rubbing that salt. No, but there's a scary fraction of the paranormal that believes they're always right. We'll turn it back
I
into
think
the
there's a scary faction.
What?
I think there's a scary faction of all of humanity that believes they're always right.
Well, let's not go crazy here. We've only got an hour.
Fine, we'll just condense it down. We'll just talk about the paranormal. We'll just keep it to that. But it is challenging, especially for people of faith. And if you are a traditional Christian pastor that tries to be non-judgmental and non-threatening with your knowledge, you know, I've been studying the paranormal, and back when they were calling it the supernatural, since I was like 13 years old. So I have a huge amount of knowledge, not just from the spiritual point of view. I am an ordained minister, and I did take additional vows during my ordination to act as an exorcist and as a healer. And that makes me one of the few Protestant pastors within a mainline denomination. I'm with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ denomination that has ever actually taken vows to act as an exorcist. Now, I wasn't ordained as an exorcist, and almost no exorcist is. Exorcists are ordained typically as a minister or clergy, or most often as a priest, and they take additional vows agreeing to additional aspect of their ministry, which, again, for me was the dealing with the demonic. But because healing and the demonic go hand in hand, or at least I believe that they should, that's why I also took the additional vow to act as a healer, because I don't ever want to just leave somebody hanging. And the other part is, you know, most of the time, though, I just do the typical ministry stuff. But when the other raises its head, or when people hit me up with questions on Facebook, or I'm in one of the group sessions, and I hear people say things like, well, the only exorcist are priests, or they use the word demonologist totally to mean someone who's either doing deliverance ministry or who is engaging something negative, doing cleansings, but they don't also acknowledge that demonologists, for the most part, have always traditionally been somebody who studied demons. And somebody who studied demons doesn't have to be someone who does cleansings. It can just simply be someone who studies about it, who might advise teams or something, and who never directly interacts. But because all the shows have adopted that term, it can be very, very confusing when people in the paranormal have different definitions of different words.
Yeah, and see, now I'm sitting here, and I've got three ways I want to go, and I'm not sure which way I want to go first. Because you mentioned healers, that's an interesting thing. Exorcisms, that's a whole other can of worms. But I think I'm going to go to demonology first, because that was the last thing you mentioned. And we have a mutual friend who is very versed in demonology and in the study of that thing, that kind of stuff, Dave Considine. And,
Oh, yeah,
and every time I hear somebody say they're a demonologist, and I can hear Dave. He's such a brilliant, knowledgeable man on the subject, and then you ask them a simple question, and they sound like an idiot, and you go, I always say, you better be careful what you're into, because if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get yourself in a world of trouble. And they always say, oh, I've got it. And I'm like, okay. So it's always scary how people just, you know, go to Vistaprint. Great company. They could sponsor the show and print themselves up a bunch of business cards that say demonologist, and they think that's it.
And they actually have no idea how much is involved. For instance, I do not and will not call myself a demonologist, because even though I probably know more about demons than most people, you know, as compared to somebody like Dave, who can spout off names and countries and their histories and all that kind of thing, you know, I've never studied them at that depth. That is not my calling. My calling is a paranormal crisis intervention specialist. I go in and I help the families that are dealing with the demonic, and I do the cleansings or the blessings or the location exorcism. I will only do a human exorcism after a full medical and psychological evaluation has been done, unless it's an immediate life or death situation, and I've never run into one of those yet.
Well, let me get you a camera crew, and then you'll be in. Let me get you a camera crew, and then you'll have one immediately.
But you see, Jim, there has been a long history that's basically kind of closeted that people don't talk about, of Christian pastors dealing with the demonic. But because of the stigma that had been previously attached to it, it was always kind of done quietly. And there was always a few people who knew those that dealt with such stuff, but it wasn't discussed openly. And you still have this idea in many circles of it needing to be kept almost secretive. Because one thing is, you know, I had been approached to be on some shows and discuss this and to, you know, be filmed. But my thing is, if it's an actual demonic case, I consider it to be unethical to put someone who is in, you know, a PTSD state of emotional and mental anguish on TV and try to deal with them for ratings. You know, it's not, because that's sensationalism and voyeurism, and to me, it can be considered to be a form of abuse. Now, I'm not judgmental if other pastors want to do it and stuff. That is up to them. But when somebody is actually really and truly in that state of existence where they are being assaulted by something that is inhuman, the last thing in the world they need is to have, in my opinion, to have it filmed for the whole world to see, and to be, in my opinion, exploited by either the family member or by someone else. And so that's one of the reasons that I don't do it on film. I'm not saying I never will, but as of right now, me and a lot of the other clergy that, I don't want to say do this for real, but that
have more really have morals. I'll say it for you.
that do it for you know, that really have the pastor's heart in doing this to help the people. Most of the time, you're not ever going to see us on the television. Now, I'll go speak at your conventions and your paranormal get-togethers and meet-up groups and everything, because I love to share, and I'll be on radio. But I would never do that to a client. At least I hope that I will never do that to a client. Because when it's real, it can be so devastating. And that person, I would question whether or not has the emotional and mental capacity if they are under that kind of demonic abuse to be able to make clear decisions, because it really is a form of PTSD, or maybe PPSD, paranormal post-traumatic syndrome. So my heart really goes out to those that are struggling. And, I mean, it can be hard enough just to be struggling with a ghost, let alone something that is much more dark.
And yet I'm sitting here and I want to scream a name and call them out for being a goober, but I won't.
There are people like there are people that do it classy when they appear on the shows and stuff, like Dave's been on shows and things like that.
Yeah.
And then there's those that you know, I just cringe because it shows such bad examples and role models. You know, I mean, I won't even give a ghost permission to touch me because that's an invasion, and I don't want to use Ouija boards. Because when you use a Ouija board, you literally have to give whatever is coming through, and you don't know what it is, permission to use your body, basically to take physical possession of you. Now, maybe not in the total form, but, you know, that's one of the reasons I believe that people say, well, there's no difference between, you know, using a K2 meter or, you know, a Goff meter or, you know, Frank's box or anything else that you want to try to communicate with a spirit. They say it's, the Ouija board's the same thing. And I'm like, no, it's not, because it is a direct intervention. It is a direct, it's a direct body link that you don't get, a biological connection that you don't get with any of these other things. You don't have to give it permission to use you physically.
Right.
You
okay.
Have to cut me off because I'll keep...
No, actually, you know, I'm looking at my notes, and I want to go 180 degrees for a minute before we get too far gone, because I know it's going to happen. We're going to
okay.
keep talking about other things, and I won't get to this, and I want to get to this first. You're part of an anthology for the Darien House Children's Hospice. Did I say that right, Darien? How do you say that?
Yeah, Darien.
Okay, I did good. Yay. Tell me a little bit about that before. Like I said, I want to get that out before we get too far gone.
They went online and they requested writers to donate stories to a horror anthology. And it was supposed to come out right before Halloween. Unfortunately, it didn't come out until like almost midnight on Halloween. It's called 10 Deadly Tales. And it was my first venture into submitting anything for horror. But I have one of the stories in there called Waiting for Death, and it's probably one of the milder stories, and this actually probably is one of the milder horror anthologies. But all of the money is raised, is being raised to go towards this children's hospice house. And so no one made any profit at all from this book, but it was put together, and it's on Amazon. It's $2.38. So if anyone would love to basically get a book free and donate $2.38 to a worthwhile cause for children that are in the process of not getting any better, and to help them to have a place. And this is in England, actually. But it doesn't matter, because children are children worldwide, and when they are in a state where it's their final stages, it's wonderful to do anything to try to help them in any way possible. And I'm getting ready to launch a book series, and I still have my two paranormal books waiting in the wings. So I kind of consider this story as sort of tithing my 10% up front, and to help the kids. So again, it's called 10 Deadly Tales, and I would just appreciate it if anybody would be willing to support the Children's Hospice House by buying a copy.
There you go. I see. I told you I'd make sure we got that taken care of tonight. I knew, because I knew if we didn't do it right, I was looking at it. If I kept trucking, because there's some good stuff going on, I would have been like, it's 10 o'clock. I've got to go. And I would have felt bad if I didn't get that out. So there we go. Okay, so the correlation between God as an entity, this would be classified as a supernatural event. I'm reading from the Paramedia chat room here if you want to. Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay.
But you might read it out loud for those listeners.
I did read it out loud. The correlation, I'm reading the first part of the question. Do you want me to read the rest of it too? I didn't want to throw that all at you at once, so I guess it's the...
Well, I was just thinking it kind of all goes together. So.
Okay. So this is from Paramedic over at Paramedia. I know the church looks down at witchcraft and all, but the unwitnessed physical presence of God, an act, air quotes, of supposed occurrence, these glasses are supposed to be helping. Oh, that was my own phrase there. Is it not to interpret the symbolism of God as an act of witchcraft in some form? There you go. There's your full
okay.
question.
Last one first. Witchcraft is basically again, from my understanding, it is an expression of a religion and a belief system. And so the symbolism of God would not be an act of a different religion. God is an entity and not a symbol, at least for those within the Christian belief system and the Jewish belief system and, you know, others as well. And the first part of the question is the correlation between God as an entity. And I think that God would be classified, I could see God being classified as paranormal, because especially Jesus being considered paranormal, because Jesus is beyond the normal. You know, Jesus walking on water, Jesus turning water to wine would be considered paranormal events. We have to remember that paranormal is simply an umbrella term for something that is beyond the norm. And it doesn't mean the same thing as occult. And just like, when it says in the chat where it says, you know, I know the church looks down on witchcraft and all, but the unwitnessed physical presence of God is an act of a supposed occurrence. I guess, not completely sure if I understand what's being indicated there, but we can't see the wind, but we know it's there. And I know that's a very tried symbolism for the presence of God. But many times we can't see a ghost either, but we know that an energy form is there. And so for people in some belief systems, the unified form of God is very individualistic and not just some broad term. It is personalized and it is based on relationship and a very unique life form. I'm trying to be very kind of broad and paranormal with my terminology here. I can see someday, you know, I'll get to be this famous pastor. They'll be playing this back going, Sherry said that God was a paranormal entity or something.
That's good. That's what we need. Controversy. That's what we need. We need Joel Olstein to listen and want to call in and be a guest. That's what we need.
I would like that. I like Joel Olstein. I don't like all the prosperity stuff necessarily, but I think he has a positive message, and I think that part of the problems in Christianity is that for so long we have been stuffy. And so I think that's one of the reasons the mega churches and stuff have grown, is because people enjoy being able to clap their hands and enjoy music and hear, you know, drums and guitars play as well as traditional organ music.
And now, see, I'm gonna dabble off into this topic a little bit because it fascinates me, because he is a fresh face and something that really needed a fresh face, because Pat Roberts and all those, I mean, truthfully, they're kind of politically hardened, and you don't necessarily get those political views from Jewel. You kind of get the spirituality, the faith end of things. I'm sure Jewel has his own political views. I don't study him or anything, but he kind of keeps them under wraps and doesn't, or maybe he doesn't project them as hard as some of those other people do. So it was kind of a, like you were saying, you were getting stuffy. I mean, not you, but they, as being mega churches and TV people, and the media end of Christianity was getting kind of behind, I guess, for the lack of a better word.
Well, I think that we have done ourselves and we have done the whole world a huge disservice by living so much in fear, or by spiritually still saying, you know, the world is flat, instead of acknowledging that, you know, change is occurring. You know, people are no longer being afraid to talk about the paranormal. People are no longer feeling like they have to stay within the denominations of their families. People are leaving the church for becoming individually spiritual, because we have made it so blasted hard for people to ask questions and to have different opinions. And one of the great things I love about, you know, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ is that since its inception, it has been about equality and accepting people where they are on their spiritual journeys. If I believe the scripture means one thing and you believe it means something else, we're not going to have a church split or have some kind of big fight or feel offended by it. We're just going to go, well, that's what you believe. Now, the Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and, you know, loves you is absolute, but, you know, individual interpretation of scriptures and the fact that not everybody has to be at the same place on their spiritual journey or has to understand their spirituality the same way is a wonderful thing that our church has going for it. But along those lines, let me say something. I know that a lot of people have been hurt and disillusioned by organized religion, but we have to also look at the great big picture. All of us are a product of what we've been taught and what we have individually experienced. And you may have had a horrible, crappy experience with the denomination that or the individual church that you went into and tried to express or ask questions, or, you know, somebody was an absolute jerk or some snob or something like that. And the next person will go into a church, a different church, and that church will be loving and supportive, and they're not going to care if you have tattoos or if you're an unwed parent. All they're going to care about is what's going on with your soul, and if they can help you to grow spiritually in some way while you're on your spiritual journey. So one of the sad things is that Christianity gets pigeonholed, especially with people in the paranormal community that have been hurt so badly. And, you know, that is our fault as a church. We have not stepped up to the plate. We have not been there for people that are experiencing these things. And we still, for the most part, although that, praise God, is beginning to change, for the most part, we still aren't stepping up and being willing to address what is going on and what is relevant in people's lives, whether that is, you know, gender issues, whether that is marriage issues, whether that is paranormal issues. You know, it's okay for people to believe whatever they want to believe and to choose to be and to choose what is right for themselves. And you can allow other people that freedom without it compromising your own personal individual beliefs. And we need to start extending that to people. And clergy especially, and Christianity as a whole, needs to be educated about what is going on in the paranormal right now. And we need to be educated about how to help people. But most clergy don't know the difference between a house blessing and a house cleansing and a location exorcism. They don't know the difference. They don't know which one would be used in circumstances. And they don't know how to perform even the simplest rituals because we've been in denial so long. And that needs to be encouraged to change. And that's my soapbox, obviously. That's also part of my calling is to help educate the Christian community as well as the paranormal community and the paranormal community to, you know, to stop making blanket statements about all Christians are like this or all Christians believe this, because it's a lie. There are millions and millions of Christians out there, and all of us have unique flavors and, you know, have individual beliefs based on what we've experienced.
I wanted to ask you before we got too far off this little topic is, has the Christianity or Christians hurt themselves by breaking out into so many denominations?
People will claim that, but to me, it's like Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors. And I guess I see our diversity as, in a way, a gift from God. Because, you know, nobody even has two children that have the same personality. And I would, you know, I've walked into churches that I've been, like, was starved to death in spiritually. And I've walked into others that, you know, I felt like I was at a Thanksgiving spiritual feast, you know, because I'm getting so spiritually fed. And I think that God understood that humanity needed diversity in spiritual belief, and that there's not going to be some cookie-cutter thing that works for everybody. So I think that we need to do a more unifying umbrella connectionalism that embraces our basic belief in the divinity and the love of Jesus Christ and his dying on the cross for our sins. And we need to get over ourselves and get over the fact that nobody has to be wrong if we don't believe all the rest of the same exact stuff about Holy Communion, about baptism. Because what is going to work and resonate with one person may not be the same for another. And the bottom line is whether or not we have helped someone make a connection, a God connection, and begin or into a relationship with God. And that is what's more important than, you know, whether you belong to this denomination or that denomination. So I guess the fact is we can do it, so we may as well do a better job of living into our diversity.
Right. And so I guess my next horrible segue, you were talking about Facebook groups earlier, and this just keeps bugging me, so I'm going to say it out loud.
Okay.
And this kind of ties in with religion, because I always tell people that we should leave the unity thing to the people of faith, and that's an overall manhood or a humanity thing, not a manhood thing, but a humanity thing. we should leave it out of the paranormal. You've heard me talk about this before. I absolutely hate para-unity. It doesn't mean anything to anybody, except they can just say it and think that because they believe that whatever that is, they can get away with whatever, and they believe so much in it, and they don't understand what they're believing in. I just had to say it. I haven't said it in a while, and it's just been bugging me tonight. Because, you know, we're talking about people posting things that they absolutely believe are true, but they have no idea what they actually mean, and that's one of them. Sorry.
I agree with you. I think that maybe not so much para-unity, but para-respect, because the paranormal community should be able to respect each other, even if we hold vastly different beliefs. And it can be challenging. But there are also groups and pages and people out there that are very diverse, and they don't feel threatened by somebody who doesn't see things exactly the same way. But with that said, we really do need to work towards a common language where if you say entity, it, you know, goes by the definition in the dictionary, as well as a common understanding. If you say demonologist, it needs to have a common understanding, because people will post things and, you know, and or say something like, you know, a poltergeist is an entity.
Right.
But they won't see that there are other entities out there that encompass, you know, elementals and, mermaids or whatever as well.
I'm going to jump right here and say I've been encouraging paranormal standards, which ties with what you're trying to say. It's, you know, I haven't even evolved it past 1.0 yet, because it's going to take time for people to even to agree. Like, I know one of them off the top of my head is don't trespass. It seems so. Me and you both agree on that. But there are so many people out there who still think, oh, we can just do whatever we want. So, yeah. Before you get in trouble, we'll just stop there. we've got to have a common. So when we're comparing notes, we've got to be able to say, yeah, that was whatever. And this, you know, it's all about having comparable notes, because.
And people need to also realize that paratelevision is not what actually goes on or should go on in investigation. Don't lock yourself in a building. That means nothing. take self-care. If you are...
I find it funny because I lock myself in a building every night, by the way. I mean, I lock all the doors in my house before I go to bed. But anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
But I bet you don't do it have somebody else lock you in on a location, right?
Oh, no. I don't have anybody locking me actually physically in from the outside, I guess, no. But, that just screams stupidity and doesn't scream safety, but... Yeah.
Well, just the fact that there are some really bad techniques being shown for paranormal investigations that are not scientific, even the least bit. And you can be very spiritual, and you can also be very scientific at the same time. And you can totally, I mean, I've kind of worked backwards, because, you know, I read all of the stuff in my youth, and then became involved with helping people with deliverance ministries in my 20s, and then got back into it, I won't say how many years later, but got back into it when I was much older, after I had been a pastor for 7 years, and I switched denominations, and in that time period between the two, I reconnected with my supernatural paranormal roots, shall we say, where and I discovered the investigative end of it, which reminded me of the parapsychology and all the other stuff that I'd studied many, many years before. So I had a 100% knowledge and belief, but almost no training in terms of investigation. And it was really a joy to start learning ways to prove what I already knew to be true. And I think that I think people who talk about the fact that you have to suspend belief or there's no part of belief or religion when you're on investigations or you're dealing with this stuff, I think that is, I don't think it has to be that way. I think there can be the two held in tension. So, anyway.
Okay. I've obviously got another question here, but I want to get this done first because I know if I don't ask you this first before I ask the other first, we'll be in trouble. Where can people find you and get a hold of you if they want to read your books or talk to you about religious things or whatever it may be?
My website is Sherry, Sherrie, James, James, all lowercase together, dot Weebly, that's Weebly.com. And you can also hit me up, Sherry James, on Facebook, and just REVSHERRIE at gmail.com. And I'm available for, I talk with investigation teams that are trying to figure out if something is an inhuman or how to help clients with negative entities. And I am available to speak at conventions or at churches or at church conventions. I have a special program that I do for youth groups about the paranormal. Because, again, I think that it's really sad that we're afraid in the church. Almost it seems like we're afraid to talk about this stuff. But the reality is that people are talking about it. And there also is a huge underground group of Christians within the paranormal community that basically that don't really self-identify because they try to keep that parts of their lives separate, but they are definitely there. And so a shout out to all of those people.
And I've got two more little things I want to tack on now, and then I do want to get to the question that paramedic asked because I just think it's fascinating to think about. If you have a book that you need to edit, Sherry does that kind of good stuff. You can talk to her about that. Obviously, I'm not going to talk to her about it tonight because running all the time. And if you're a church and you need a pastor, Sherry's available.
That's true. I am currently congregationalist. My job ended with my last congregation. Contract ended. The amicable split because they needed to make some church repairs and they couldn't keep a full-time pastor in doing that. So I'm actually open and available for that. And I do freelance editing and writing. And for the last couple of months, I have been working on a book series that I'm going to start that hopefully is going to fund my IRA because I got to start doing something with my retirement eventually. But the first book is entitled The Intern and the Raven, and hopefully it will be out by the end of this month. It's an adventure series, and so check that out, and hopefully before too long, I'm going to get the two paranormal books that I have been working on. One is a social commentary about Christianity and the paranormal, and the other is a handbook resource manual for Christians and clergy and for others that that want to know a little bit more about the paranormal. And even though it is both books are written from a Christian perspective. I've tried to use the more broad terminology, and I have also tried to be non-judgmental, etc., and give different viewpoints in the book, because both of them are very educational. It was one great big book, and then when I got to be over 300,000 words, it's like, I got to split this thing. And so that's why it's taken me so long to write it, or write them, I should say. So keep me in mind as an author.
There you go. So I've got to ask you this last question, and then probably give you about 3 minutes to answer it before I've got to wrap up with you. So just so you know, you probably want to answer it in one word. If you want to, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you, but I'm just telling you so you know what's going on here. Was the Immaculate Conception an incubus?
I don't believe that to be the case, because I don't know of any, I can't say that, because supposedly there has been demonic encounters. But the scripture teaches us that, the Immaculate Conception, I always get those two confused because I'm not Roman Catholic, but I think the Immaculate Conception had to do with Mary's mother's becoming pregnant with Mary and not with Jesus, Mary having Jesus. Or being impregnated by the Holy Spirit for Jesus, which, think of it this way in terms of that, if that's what was being referred to. An energy force, life force, capable of calling the world into being, certainly would be capable of creating cells and uniting a divine presence with humanity.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm answering the question, but...
you did, so you're good. Don't worry.
No, I'm pretty almost sure that it wasn't an incubus, whether you're referring to Mary or her mother. In the first part of it does talk about demons and humans mating in the book of Genesis. So, did such things happen? Are those the Bigfoots we see or not, don't see? Or are they, the giants that they talk about where huge skeletons have been found, archaeologically speaking? Who knows?
So,
does it still happen? Who knows, as well. So,
I lied to you. I promise you that was my last question, but now I have one more.
No.
But this one is much easier. Do you still feel typecast as the person that has to come on and talk about Christianity and paranormal?
Oh, from our other thing. No, I told you we were going to talk about Bigfoot. I just mentioned Bigfoot at the end.
Well, there's a lot of things that we talked about that we could have talked about, but we kind of, like I told you, I have notes, and then I look at them now, and I've crossed the two or three things on there, but that's here and there. That's good. That's what I like. All right. I told you about this earlier. See, this is where I'm going to hang up on you.
So, okay, at this point, go ahead and phone me. I'll talk to you again.
Yep, thank you.
Listeners, thank you very much for your time and for listening, and may the Lord bless you.
And thank you, and may you be blessed as well. Goodness, I twist all my tongue up. Yeah. Okay. Tonight's Mauer Report is brought to you by The Mauer Report, the fastest hour in paranormal talk radio. Go visit italkparanormal.com. Free newsletters, free paranormal podcasts, easy for me to say. Free newsletter, which I promise I'm going to be getting full back in line here, not this week, but next week. Visit italkparanormal.com. If you're interested in buying the ad space, which I hope you are, I've got some offers in, trying to settle the deal out with somebody right now. So if you're interested, get on board right now, because I don't want to say I discount it, but I do. I mean, it's amazing. Anyways, if you want on board, get on board. If not, I'm not going to try to beg you and plead you to do it, because I don't have to. It'll sell itself, because the reach of the program is just it's like I was saying earlier, it just amazes me. So get on with it. My final thought tonight. Somebody sent me, a few years ago, I tweeted a picture during the State of the Union address of the duck with Barack Obama, and somebody brought that back to my attention yesterday. And I was kind of confused. I didn't understand why they were bringing it back to my attention. But it came with a note. Remember, this guy talked about hope and change and all this other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, what's your point? And so I got sent me a message back. Well, now you have the opportunity to change and hope your program because, not necessarily hope your program, but change your program because as networks come and go and all this other stuff, 2015 is going to be a different year. And I'm glad they pointed that out to me. It's interesting because you watch things from afar and you watch things up close, and it's tough to keep track of everything at times. Because when Cherry started listening to me way back when, I was on one network, and that network's still around, but it's not necessarily around as it was. And the report has changed, and a lot of things keep changing. So as things change and evolve, I hope that you enjoy the ride and keep track of what's going on for me. I've got some great listeners out there who I wouldn't change for the world. So I hope they all keep listening, and I hope I can get hand over fist of them, because without them, it proved it out tonight how smart some of them are and how interested some of them are and how engaging some of them are. I couldn't do this without them. I know I've been saying that a lot lately, but you guys don't really understand, because I never thought I'd be at this point where I'd have this many listeners and all the fun that I'm having. But that's it for tonight.
Well, before we flip that on-air sign to the off position, a quick reminder. For all things about the report, previews, and reviews, go to italkparanormal.com. That's italkparanormal.com. Good night.
It's the Paranormal Show.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadio.com.